What's up, everybody? It's your boy Flash from ALWT Gaming, aka Malachi36. I am here with It's the Nine Ball and Mildew and Carrot on this January 11th, 2022, episode 2 for season 2. What up, gentlemen? How are you doing today? Starting off with you, It's the Nine Ball. What is up? What's good? What's happening? What's crack-a-lacking?
It's just been busy.
Heard that.
Busy at work and kind of tired, but we're gonna power through. We're gonna get this news in.
Power just through like that, like that power wash simulator. You know what I mean? You just gotta get all the power dirt. Wash off.
What did you see that at?
We were talking off stream. They got simulators for everything. So they got there's one that was like literally power washing and is a power wash simulator. I've seen it on like Gary Witta's like Twitch and stuff like that. Which is actually
I have a grass growing simulator.
Yeah, exactly.
They got I like the farming simulators.
Speaking of farming, Mildewy Carrot, Sour Patch Kids all the way, our former victorious winner of our very first season of Fantasy Gaming League, Mildewy Carrot. How are you doing, man?
Doing good. Can't complain. Just enjoying life while we still got it, you know?
Yep. And you have the week off, right?
Yeah, I do. So, I finally took a week off and was like, I need to refresh, rebreathe, and, you know, just go crazy without anyone noticing and come back sane.
So I do want to start off. Actually, I do want to take the conversation that way. I want to start off with you, Mildew and Carrot, and work your way back to me. What have we been playing over lately for the past 11 days into the new year? What have we been excited for? I'm not excited for it. That's a separate question. But I do want to know, like, what have you guys been playing recently and been into?
So, I've been into Generation Zero, which is an online shooter exploration survival game. I've been playing that a little bit with TBF Abyss. He got into it and is actually enjoying it. I just played through and beat again South Park's Fractured Butthole. Played through that. Enjoyed it as always. It's hilarity in a sense. It's South Park to the core in game format, and they did such a good job with it. I was playing Phasmophobia with It's the Nine Ball, Gravity, and Hey It's Abs. So we were doing that, and then I've also been playing some other side games I've got that are survival based games, Arctico. Remains. Picked up Raph again. Nine Ball got on that with me. We gotta get on that again. It was good. And then I've been downloading some beta demos for stuff that's coming out here supposedly in 2022 for some indie games. One I just downloaded called Frigid, and another one, and I need to send you this one, Nine Ball. It's called Exodus Borealis. So, yeah. It's actually out though, but they've got a little demo and it's very fun.
All right.
Sounds interesting.
It's going on over to you there, Nine Ball. What have you been playing, man? What's going on? What's new in your world?
Like Mildewy said, I've been playing a lot of Phasmophobia, and we played some Raft. Also played some No Man's Sky and started streaming A Plague's Tale Innocence. Also been playing some games with the kids. Been playing Spectre on Roblox and Fall Guys. Spectre's basically the Roblox equivalent of Phasmophobia.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me that they put it in there, but I'm just kind of curious of how it acts.
It's kind of like Phasmophobia. I don't know why the kids play it. They're too scared to do anything. They put all the stuff in the front door and then say, I haven't gotten a signal. I say, yeah, go back there to the room with the ghost. There's some different things. Like, they do have a bird to see if the ghost is toxic. If the bird dies, then the ghost is toxic.
A toxic ghost?
Yeah.
Is it one of the...
They have almost every ghost. It's just some of them are named differently. Like, instead of Onis, they have, like, ghouls, and they have whispers. But they do have, like, your standard banshees and demons, stuff like that.
Interesting. I'd have to probably watch some videos on that just because I'm curious on how they did it and all.
My niece and them, they play it all the time. Like I said, they absolutely suck because they just run. Like every five, I'm like, we got to go back here. I don't want, I'm going to go sit in the car.
It sounds like what Malachi would be doing if he played Phasma with us.
Anyway, what other games have you been playing?
Like I said, I started streaming A Plague Tale Innocence. Mm-hmm. So I've said the beginning of that. I'm going to find some other days I want to do some more streaming on and try to get that going.
I did see that you went live, and I'm not going to lie to you, I didn't see it because I thought you were just testing. I didn't know you were actually streaming.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I should have told you. Yeah, I was able to get... Finally, we got our internet done. It took God knows how long.
Woo!
What?
I know.
Raise
when I first did it, I didn't know what happened. It was just like, I'm going to do it this day. Then they pushed it back, and then we got a call one day. Well, something happened at the base. We're going to have to just reschedule. Did it blow up, or what happened?
Oh, it was that base. My bad.
No,
I should have left it alone. Pardon me.
Definitely next time. Now, with that being said, I probably will have to start Plague's Tale myself, so that way I don't see spoilers in your stream, because I definitely want to check it out for myself and see more of what that game has to offer, especially since now it was free on PlayStation 5 a couple months ago.
I've had it for a while on PC.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you should do a play along. When he starts his stream, you pull up Plague's Tale and just play along with him there, Malachi.
I am down for that.
It's all right. It's always been on my list to do. I've been building a list. I have a couple games on there. Because I have that. I eventually want to do both of the. But I'm waiting for the second part. What is that? Horizon Zero Dawn. I want to play through both those.
Okay. Yes.
You mean Forbidden West?
Yeah. Kind of refresh myself and then go to Forbidden West.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to be reinstalling my version here shortly soon too to get the playthrough on my 5.
I also eventually want to get to Silent Hill because I don't have Silent Hill 1 and 2, I have Silent Hill 3 and 4. Also, Homecoming and Downpour.
Nice.
And every Resident Evil.
So I've been playing quite a bit of Final Fantasy 14, getting further inside Stormblood. So with that being said, the first two, all right, so you have Realm Reborn, then you have Heaven's Word, and then it goes inside Stormblood. The thing that I thought was actually really cool is that Realm Reborn and Heaven's Word are all inside Eorzea. And for the longest time, I thought Eorzea was just the entire world, and turns out it's just more of like a continent. So I thought that was actually very interesting because, once you start getting out of Heaven's Word and into Stormblood, that's when you find out that, or at least to me, that's when I was just like, oh, Eorzea is not the actual universe we're in. Like it's just like the United States, and this person's coming from this area, which is like in Doma or whatever. And I was like, okay. So now I'm going to Doma for Stormblood, and I'm going through all these different areas that I did not even know had even existed. So... definitely interesting there. I'm so far digging the story. I know that Silent was really cringy about the story because he hates the politics of it and everything like that was happening in the game. I don't mind it so far. Like, I am enjoying it. Now, granted, is it as good as Heaven's Word or even Realm Reborn base game? No. But it's still something that has my interest, at least for the time being. And I definitely want to go ahead and try to find my comrade that we're all searching for right now. That's where I'm at right now, is that we just met up with the samurai and we're looking for the ninja, Yugiri.
What level are you right now?
71, 72.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I can come back because I didn't see where you're at, story, because now you're probably on the same level as I am.
I just finished the water area where you're going under the water and stuff like that and doing all those
missions. Okay, so we're about together then on the same missions then.
All right, cool. So I've been persevering with that. Whenever I can get on, It's still going through its process right now for
last couple of times I've been getting on, it's been a hassle sometimes trying to get on that. And
yeah, I have been noticing that the best time for, and this is for anyone that's listening right now, if you guys are Final Fantasy 14 players or anything like that or want to get inside Final Fantasy 14, the best times to play is anytime before 11, and that is weekdays and weekends. If you jump on, and chances are the queue times are going to be much lower. All the times I've jumped on before 11, I've been able to get in with 47 in queue, 57 in queue, something like that. The minute I jump off.
Clarify, Malachi, is this 11 a.m. or 11 p.m., and what time zone are you speaking of?
Yes, exact. Good call out. So this is 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that would be like 8 a.m. On the West Coast. So yeah, so I would definitely recommend trying to do something along the lines like that if you're trying to jump on. But all the times I've been able to get on, Saturday, Sunday, any weekday that I have off or anything like that, every single time I've been able to get on, it's always been before 11 a.m. EST. And then I could just stay on. But the minute I log out, I got to make sure I'm done for the day. Because you're not getting back on anytime soon. So, been playing that. And then me and Mildew, we actually have been kind of dabbling a little bit here and there for Comrades for Final Fantasy 15. Jumped aside a little bit of that. And
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I absolutely, like, I do. I love that game. Like, I love the mechanism for it. And I think it grows on me even more just because I do know the base story because of the game. And I played that game and as well as the movie that came out, which is technically a prequel to the game. So I do like the world. It is sometimes the ones I have to be kind of in the mood for, but I'm easier to get in the mood of it just because I know the whole backstory and the lore of it, which is really fun. So been having a good time with that. And then whenever Gravity's been able to jump on, which was the one time, but still we had a lot of fun with that too as well. So we definitely have to do some more Comrades.
I like it because it's got a little bit of like a Monster Hunter feel to it. I do enjoy that, which I am excited for when Sunbreak comes out in summer of this year. So still got to get you onto that game and get you through so we can link up, Malachi.
I got to get through World and Rise. Got to get through both of them. So,
well, right now I'm okay with you putting World on the back burner for a moment just because it doesn't really play into Rise at all. It's a separate story.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with you getting into that one if you want to. Then later we can definitely hit up World and really just run through it hardcore.
And I do want to go ahead and take a time out real fast and talk about our Fantasy Gaming League, which we just started last Saturday. We had a nice little stream that was going on with the gents. And for anyone that
I was murdered verbally.
And for anyone that is curious as to what the Fantasy Gaming League is, it literally is like fantasy football, but instead of football teams or football teams and football players, it is video games. And it's on a 100-point scale, so anything above 70 points, which is the threshold, gains you points. Anything below 70 points loses you points. Anything right at 70 does not gain nor lose. You do compete with everybody at the same time on an annual basis, so throughout the entire year. It's not a weekly basis like it is for fantasy football. And there is a little caveat in there that's counter picks to where you can try to screw up your opponent. However, that can backfire on you if the game does come out and does well. So, for example, if I have Horizon Forbidden West and Mildewy Carrot was to counterpick that and it comes out and does a 90, that is 20 points above 70, so that gains me 20 points. But if he has it as his counterpick, because it's above 70 by 20 points, he will lose 20 points on his actual overall score. So
kind of, I was not that stupid.
So counterpicks was like the little trump card that could be thrown inside the mix to spice it up a little bit and call out your opponents. So here we go. We have a few name changes here as we are going inside the 2022 Fantasy Gaming League for our second one ever. Ohio had switched his name to MOGA, which is Make Ohio Great Again. He's coming out strong, and these are the current games that's on his list that's pending to come out. Pokemon Legends Arceus, Sifu, Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, Marvel's Midnight Suns, Elden Ring, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge. He has a counterpick of Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, and he has two open spots available. in the number two spot right now is Silent, which he switched his name from Fantasy Football to Renzo Gukin, which is a move from Final Fantasy.
Renzo Gukin.
Yeah, it's a move from Final Fantasy. It's an ultimate from Final Fantasy VIII. So if you guys are hearing me say Renzo, that's what I'm referring to. And Renzo right now has God of War Ragnarok on his list, Triangle Strategy, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, Chocobo GP, Kirby in the Forgotten Land, Final Fantasy 16, Metroid Prime 4 has an open spot, and he has a counter pick of Diablo Immortal. I, representing ALWT Gaming, have Horizon Forbidden West, A Plague Tale Requiem, Starfield, Ghostwire Tokyo, Gotham Knights, Redfall, Babylon's Fall, open spot, and I have a counter pick of Bayonetta 3. Illuminatus Living, which was Illisby Live, has Dying Light 2, Stay Human, Bayonetta 3, Strangers of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin, Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope, Diablo Immortal, Shovel Knight Dig. He has two open spots, and he has a counter pick of Saints Row. Zaka Corp, which was formerly known as Zaka TV, aka It's the Nine Ball. He has The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl, Saints Row, and that's Saints Row the remake, if you guys will, in case you guys are curious. Total War, Warhammer 3, Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2. He has two open spots, and he has a counterpick of Marvel's of Midnight Suns. And lastly, which was our winner from last year, Carrot Patch Inc. Keeping the name Carrot Patch Inc. It did him well last year, so why not this year? He has Gran Turismo 7, Forspoken, Tunic, Splatoon 3, Stray, Salt and Sacrifice, Advanced War 1 plus 2, Reboot Camp. He has an open spot, and he has a counterpick of Chocobo GP. So, that is the current list right now as far as how our fantasy gaming had went. It's still going on, as you heard that we have open spots available. A few of these games are dropping out kind of quickly, so starting off, the games that's going to be immediately on the board is a little bit from almost everyone, actually. January 28th, Pokemon Legends Arceus is coming out, and that's Ohio. Dying Light 2 is February 4th, which is Illuminatus Living. Sifu, which is February 8th, which is Make Ohio Great Again. Total War Warhammer 3, which is Zaka Corp. Horizon Forbidden West, ALWT Gaming. Elden Ring, Make Ohio Great Again. Babylon's Fall, ALWT Gaming. Triangle Strategy, Renzo. Gran Turismo 7 is Carrot Patch. And Chocobo GP, which is Renzo. And going back to Horizon Forbidden West, Total War comes out the 17th of February. The next day is Horizon Forbidden West, which is ALWT Gaming. Then 7 days after that is Elden Ring, which is February 25th. Then Babylon's Fall, which is the 3rd of March. Triangle Strategy, 4th of March. Gran Turismo 7, 4th of March. And Chocobo GP, which is the 10th. So there you have it. And assuming none of these games get delayed, this is going to be a pretty stacked first couple months.
Yep.
Yeah. So
we're curious to see how it starts and then how it goes on for the rest of the year. Because if you all remember last year, there was a lot of delays and pushbacks. So we were all very like, you guys could just hear it with what Malachi was talking about, is that we grabbed every name date with month, day, and year release date on it for this year first. And then we went for possibly early 2022. And then finally, maybe 2022. We're just like, crud. Because that's literally like a lot of this list is, guys, is possibilities. Even the companies themselves are not going to be like, yeah, we're good. They're like, no, we're going to wait.
Yeah, it's been a very, very interesting year, to say the least, for how it looks like right now for video games that's going to be coming out. But enough about that. We are 20 minutes in, and I want to get to the first story because it is very interesting. But before we get into that, make sure you guys are following us on social media platforms such as Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of that. Just type in ALWT Gaming. If you guys can't find us on YouTube by ALWT Gaming, type in At Least We Tried Gaming, because At Least We Tried. Currently, our website is undergoing some maintenance, if you will. But if you guys, when it is up and going and running, you guys can go to alwtgaming.com and check out all of our stuff there. As of right now, you got to go to www.alwtgaming.com, Wix, which is wix.com/home. So again, that's www.alwtgaming.com/home. If you guys want to check out our website right now. But like I said, it's currently undergoing maintenance, and we'll let you guys know when that's fully updated. And of course, make sure you guys are getting your Rise Sports, REPPSports.com. Make sure you guys are getting your Raise Energy Drinks from Rep Sports, REPPSports.com. Just type in ALWT Game at checkout and get 50% off. But yeah, without further ado, first story of the day. Can I get a drum roll, please? An early PlayStation event. It is rumored right now. So Dare Behan from Game Rant says this in their article. A new rumor from a trusted source indicates that PlayStation's next big event could be very soon. This year is shaping up to be one of the biggest gaming years in history, thanks to a hugely promising lineup coming from PlayStation, including God of War, Ragnarok, and Horizon Forbidden West. Despite this, in recent years, it's been hard to predict how Sony will go about making announcements for its big titles, with showcases ranging from 10 minutes state of play to 40 minutes PlayStation showcases. A new report from a trusted source claims that PlayStation's next event should be coming next month, which is February, ladies and gentlemen. Ever since PlayStation first pulled out of E3 in 2019, it's been hard to predict when Sony will make the next big announcements. Recent years have seen some consistency that added to that Sony's event schedule, with state of play showcases arriving throughout most of the year, with the company hosting major PlayStation showcase events in September 2020 and 2021, which are comparable to the E3 presentations it has done in the past. So right now, this is just a rumor. They have trusted sources on there from Game Rant is what they're stating on here. What is going through everyone's mind right now when they hear about a potential... Well, first off, who believes that this is actually happening in February? And then second question was, what do you guys think is going to be? I want to start with you, Nineball.
Oh, I'm not sure if... Okay, first question. I'm not sure if it is even is real. PlayStation is, I mean, you would think something like this, it would at least maybe give you a heads up and not just drop it somewhere mid, I mean, we're in the middle of already like half and almost midway through January. I don't know what they're waiting for to let you know, but if they do decide to have one, it's probably going to be some new upcoming games and what we were talking about before, where they may talk about the new PlayStation answer to the Xbox Series X's Game Pass VR, and maybe show off some hidden surprises. I don't think it'll be anything big. Probably some really close upcoming games. Give you some more updates on maybe God of War or something. I don't really think coming. I think they're gonna reserve that for like the bigger showcases and stuff.
Well, I will say this. If they do say more stuff about God of War, that's already going to be big.
Yeah.
But I get where you're coming from, though, as far as like new tech or new subscription. Or I get where you're coming from on that. Okay. Mildewy Carrot, what are your thoughts about this? Do you think that this is real? And if so, what do you think we're going to see?
I'm kind of on the same boat with Nineball. Like, I'm also kind of 50-50. Like, it could be real, it couldn't be. Like, it's just because it's right now, it's just a rumor. We haven't heard anything from PlayStation themselves announcing it. So, for right now, I'm marking it as a rumor, and that's what we're going to go as. Now, if they do decide to do it, it's probably going to be either towards the middle or end of February when they're going to do it. Because there's really not much that they can talk about that's coming out earlier in terms of February. Like, I know we got the Horizon Forbidden West coming out, and I don't think they're going to do one during the time just to do another plug-in for it. I'm pretty sure the groups will do that on their own with their own trailer releases on YouTube or in the systems and Steam and all that. So if anything, they're probably going to do it later on in the year. And I definitely kind of agree that you may hear something about like games that are coming later in the year, like maybe some more on some Ragnarok, maybe a bit more on Forspoken, possibly. But maybe a lot of times with these earlier ones, like we kind of saw with the fall one last year, was where you probably have like one or two big games, like a couple of indie games, and maybe some tech announcements. I definitely would like to hear more on their response to Game Pass, because as COVID progresses, they definitely need to take that step forward to get to the gamers that are on PC to still be able to use PlayStation on there, you know. So I definitely would like to hear more about that. You've got the VR stuff that you could hear about and see more on. So, but I don't think we're going to get any huge announcements, probably not until maybe summertime, unless some companies have got some bigger IPs coming out that they want to definitely announce. But I haven't heard or seen anything that would really pertain to that, because they're all already coming out, and then we'll probably get those bigger ones later in the year.
So before I give you guys my thoughts about all of this, let me ask you a very serious, genuine question here. What is considered spring to you guys when they're talking about business in general? What's considered spring?
Now we're talking before or after global warming is calculated into it, if you believe it exists or doesn't exist.
I'm just saying it just on a business structure, itself, not just the weather, but what is considered a spring quarter to you guys in business?
So I prefer to use like Q1, Q2, and Q3, Q4. Uh-huh. So normally Qs are about like 3 months. It's about 3 months each. So first quarter is, January, February, March. Then second is going to be April, May, June. Third is going to be July, August, October. And the last one is, September, November, December. So Q1, I think we're not really going to hear too much about, because you got a lot of games that are coming out in Q1. So by the end of March, you're going to have a bunch of stuff out. If they do an announcement in February, it's probably going to be stuff for either tapping on things coming out end of Q1, but mostly looking at Q2s and maybe some Q3, but I think more of Q2 for indie games and all, because unless they're going to have companies who've got like coming up saying, hey, I got some big IPs that we want to announce, it's not going to be really anything affecting the current quarter, but it's going to be affecting stuff that's going to be either later or next year, possibly, depending upon what phase of development that they're in. So that's mainly where I think that they're mainly going to focus on announcements. If they do one in February, which is middle of Q1, is they're going to touch end of Q2, end of Q1 stuff, but mainly probably Q2, possibly a little Q3.
And so here's the thing though for me, and this is where my mind's kind of going out when I think about this. So I think that honestly, as of right now, I think technically in the video game industry, we're still technically Q4. I think that that's what this is still being considered as, which, again, the very Q1 would be spring. And if that starts in February for PlayStation and Xbox and everything like that, then the rumors that's been kind of going around at the end of last year would make sense for PlayStation to announce their subscription service, for them to come out with their PSVR 2. Maybe a couple game announcements, but I'm kind of curious of what this can be, because it very well could be if it's state of play, it's going to be Horizon and it's going to be early February. Like, that's what I think it's going to be. I don't see that happening. I think part of the reason why I say that is because, as even though Deathloop did a really good job releasing and coming out and impressing a lot of the industry, the marketing was on that was ridiculously annoying. It was just over and over and over, and I think PlayStation is aware of that, and I don't think that they want to Deathloop the next game that they're trying to push. They want the Deathloop experience, like at the end when it came out, but they don't want to Deathloop it to where people are just annoyed by seeing it. That's my assumption. So with that being said, I don't think we're going to see a Horizon Forbidden West state of play. Maybe an announcement, maybe hype train or something like that. But I don't see a Horizon Forbidden West state of play happening if this comes to fruition. I do think that this will be the time when they're going to be like, all right, now we're going to go ahead and give our Game Pass services. and be like, hey, we're combining PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now, and these are the tiers that you can get, and this is what all we're going to have with it, because I know they're doing some fine-tuning on that even as we speak. I do think that at that point, they're also going to mention maybe even a release date of PlayStation VR, especially if they were already having a Horizon Forbidden or Horizon Calling of the Mountain, I think it was, the VR game that's coming out for that. Like, I'm very interested to see what that's going to be. And yeah, I'm just very curious to see of how it's going to be, and I think that that's what's going to be. If it's not that, then maybe it will be PlayStation starting off 2022 right by showing off their indie titles in a more defined way. Because that was one of the complaints that had happened with organizations, is that indie developers just did not like working with PlayStation for the most part, because I don't know if it's because of recognition or whatever. It was in an article that I read previously, but I know that PlayStation and indie just were not seeing eye to eye for a bit, and I think PlayStation's trying to now make that change a little bit more and give more of a platform for their indie developers to come on out the gate, which again, Kenna, Bridge of Spirits, chef kiss right to you on that one. That was a great one.
That's a beautiful game.
But even more stuff like Jet the Far Shore, and I guess you can consider Sifu an indie game. Like that's coming out soon, and that looks really tight. I'm very. It could be a series of different things. I believe that this can happen. Do I think that it's going to happen? I'm 50-50. Mainly, I believe it's going to happen if PlayStation considers February the beginning of spring for them. That's kind of the only way I'd see that kind of happening, because I don't see them coming, if they don't consider it spring and they consider March or April spring, then I don't see them coming out with a worthy note PlayStation showcase in February and then do another one in March or even April. That just doesn't make sense to me. So I think that if it's going to be a PlayStation showcase, then it can be February, but they would have to consider February spring. That's how it is in my book.
Yeah, I'd have to look online to see. Sorry. What exactly they consider their fiscal years, because that's one thing I haven't looked into. Although I was seeing some stuff where they're saying like April to March for them. I was like, because that's what they were saying, is like, what, like, it was like April and what was it? Hold on. April 1st and ends March 31st following year for Sony, Nintendo, Microsoft July 1st and July 30th. So I really, that's just one site that I don't take it at face value, just the one that I find. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to dig more, but it's like, I just kind of curious of what their fiscal years are considered for each of their companies.
Yeah.
Because that will probably give you a heads up, but I don't know like what the, how that plays into the release of things for them, but because they're each individual companies in the gaming world, they probably they'll probably say something different, but it's probably why they just prefer to give like the spring seasons and stuff like that. Like thinking of it, like, you know, beginning of the year is probably like spring is up until like, I don't know, maybe like April, and then April, May, I think, like May or so, I don't know, like just like going off of the seasons versus doing quarters, because they're also different. But my mind, I just think it'd be easier if we just all just, if they just got on the launch thing of saying, you know, beginning of the year to the end of the year. But
yeah,
that's my brain versus theirs.
And the reason why I brought up fiscal years and stuff like that is because of a previous article that came out towards the end of last year, was saying that PlayStation is preparing to launch their subscription service in spring. So specifically that phrasing for PlayStation is what's making me think that if it does come out February, that this might be it. I don't think, I know Nineball had concerns of it being like kind of a last minute thing. I honestly don't think this is last minute. I actually think this, if they were to announce it now, that'd be early. I think it'll be last minute if for a February showcase now, of note.
What are you talking about?
Well, you said that you had mentioned earlier that you don't think that this, like, for them just to randomly drop it right, like, in February now.
No, I'm just saying basically with that I'm just wondering why we're hearing about it. I don't know why they just didn't put it out yet.
Well, and if I was about to say,
go on ahead.
Well, I was about to say, and that's the thing. I think that they wouldn't announce it until it gets closer. Like, if they announced it now, then that's a little too early to officially announce it, at least on PlayStation's side. Because right now, this is not even PlayStation confirming it. This is just reliable sources that Games Radar journalist was able to get hands on with. It's more or less just, again, like, I think PlayStation would announce it at the earliest, maybe the first week of February, being like, hey, in 2 weeks, we're going to have a showcase. I think that they have to have at least a 2 week window before they do that. At the latest, I would say, would be, so February 1st is in three Tuesdays. So I would say at the absolute latest, they would do a showcase, hey, we're going to have a showcase, would be like the 14th of February. So anywhere between the 1st and the 14th, I believe that for Sony to officially announce something of note, that's when they would have to do it, in my opinion.
Well, here's the thing. I might be wrong. I'm sitting up here and I'm reading G Infinity Esports, and I didn't even think about that. Their first day to play last year was February 25th in 2021.
Now, let me ask you this. That first day to play, wasn't that Horizon Forbidden or Forbidden West? Isn't that what that was?
It's after Horizon. I'm not sure.
But it's like it was something like that, or possibly even Ratchet and Clank. I feel like it was like a.
So I know it was. Yeah, they're saying January. I mean, February 25th was the first day to play. They're reading more. There
you go. Yeah, I'm just kind of curious as to what that is. Like, if it's a state of play, you can announce that a week out. But I feel like if it's going to be a PlayStation showcase, then that's something that's going to have be at least 2 weeks to get people prepared for that, journalists on the plane to go watch whatever, if they're going to have it in person, whatever.
They're saying, well, I'm getting different dates. Some people are saying February 3rd. We'll just see when they, if they do officially announce it with that, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I was about to say, for me, if this is real, I feel like that PlayStation themselves would announce it probably no earlier than February 1st, no later than February 14th, which is Valentine's Day.
Depends upon when they're planning on doing it. Yeah, they'll definitely give you at least, like, I think about a 2 week heads up. This is normally what they do.
If it's a showcase that's of note, like, again, if it's just a simple state of play, I think that a week out would be perfectly fine. They've done that before.
Yeah.
But if it's something that's like, hey, there's a subscription service, new games, PlayStation VR 2, like that one, they might go ahead and be like, at least a week and a half, 2 weeks out.
Yep.
Story number two. Can we all just ban along? Alex Hopley from Games Rant says this. Xbox Phil Spencer is advocating for cross-platform bans against players who take part in toxic behavior and harassment. Xbox Phil Spencer is no stranger to interviews or speaking his mind when asked a particular question. After the disastrous attempt to roll out the Xbox One as an all-in-one gaming TV and media device, Spencer took over the recognizable face for Xbox fans and someone who marketed themselves as being focused primarily on gaming. Now Spencer is turning his eye towards the toxic behavior players can encounter when gaming online. Recently, Xbox co-creator Seamus Blackley had called out the toxicity and harassment on Halo Infinite. While there are facilities now for platforms and games to ban toxic users that take their rage too far, Phil Spencer wants to go further. Speaking in a recent interview, the Xbox boss stated that he would like to see a form of console bans against toxic users. Spencer said said this in a quote. Something I would love us to be able to do is this is a hard one as an industry, is when somebody gets banned in one of our networks, is there a way for us to ban them across other networks? End quote. The idea would revolve around Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo keeping a shared list of offenders and getting rid of them from all online game services. It's clear Spencer isn't a fan of people using Xbox platforms to harass others, as he stated recently that Xbox is not a platform for politics. End story. And I know we talked a little bit about this off stream a bit, and I'm gonna shut up and I'm gonna give the mic on over to Mildew Carrot first to kick us off with this one.
So, I love the idea. You know, it definitely, I really want it to come to fruition because it would be that next step towards getting the cooperative aspects of the gaming world together, like to get all the big players in on the same page, to get, like, you know, people like, we're, when we tried to get cross plays going, we got cross plays now, but to really try and, like, now fine tune that and bring it forward more. I would love for this to come to fruition. One of the problems I see, though, with, like, trying to ban some on the network, you know, across multiples is, are they using the same IP on multiple networks? You know, is their account name the same? Do they have burner accounts? In other words, are they using VPNs to try and, like, get around blocks and all? Like, how are we really going to truly, like, keep them out of the system from making multiple accounts, you know, without maybe, like, you know, getting across with someone else or, you know, causing other problems, you know? So, like, it's just, I think there's a lot of work and fine tuning that needs to go into it, that they need to definitely sit down and talk with, like, leading experts in the industries, in terms of also network industries and all that, to try and, like, really get something going to where they can try and see this and, you know, help get the behavior down. Because I definitely agree that we definitely need to control toxic behavior online, because it makes a lot of games that are fun really unfun to play. Going on to Nineball.
Well, I do have a question about that real quick. I have a question about that because I 100% do think that I don't think that necessarily the plan would be to, I mean, the plan would be to stop all toxicity across the board in general. Realistically, that's probably going to be almost impossible to do. But you want to try to make it as annoying and as difficult as it can for them to be toxic on several different occasions. However, something just came across my mind as you were talking. And I know that Xbox and PlayStation, and I'm assuming probably Nintendo, has ways that if you abuse the system so many times, that not only will they ban your account, but they pretty much brick your system. Like, you can't even play offline games. I've seen that. Like, you can't. You get banned so many times or so often that you literally turn on your console and it will give you a message: your Xbox has been banned. And you can't even play any offline games either.
I mean, if that's the case, then I'm okay with that, because what they're probably doing is each system comes with its own serial number, with its own serial name that's coded in there, to where people, where they can easily just, once the IP hits and they got the serial name, then they'll, you know, then they'll block it. But if they see that serial name pop up again with another IP, then they'll be like, all right, someone's doing something fishy here, funky with the VPN. Probably. But the other thing is, and now that you're saying that, I'm wondering if people have tried to go in and crack the systems to rewrite those, but I'm wondering if they've got, like, a register somewhere that they've listed, like, what has been officially allowed out, like, what are the names of systems that have been sent out, and if it's something that doesn't equal onto that register, then they're like, no. So I'm actually kind of curious to know more about that. Aww. He's got family off on the side there, guys.
Yeah, I'm actually, what I'm actually going to do, I'm actually sending you guys a link to that right now, so you guys can take a little gander at it. There's several different,
gander at it.
Gander? Yeah, you're going to lose us if you do that, bro.
Yeah, no, right here, it says your console is banned, right here. So it's the one that is, if you guys click on that link, it's going to be three rows down and then one to the right. And it's literally, it's all black, and it says your console has been banned. That's the one I was talking about. Because there's different examples up there. But as you guys are looking at that and talking amongst yourself, I'm going to greet my wife. So give me 1 second.
Messaging your account isn't working. I mean, to be honest, like, they could definitely... KFC?
which one is it?
I don't know. I mean, there's several on there from the looks of it. I'm trying to see here, but I'm seeing, like, collected from the country rank that says abandoned me.
I'm going to try to go to the actual... Because I think
I can go to the actual page.
Yeah, I'm going. All right, here it is. So this one is one. All right, so here it is right here. And for our audio listeners that's on Anchor or Spotify, what it literally says, and I have it pulled up right here, it literally says your account, your console has been banned. Let me go to the thing. It's really small. Your console has been banned. Your console has been banned for the terms of use solutions to protect the Xbox service and its members, Microsoft, and then it just blurs out. It's way too hard to see, just because it's a screenshot of it. But it's literally banning a console in general to where now you just have something that literally is just a brick. It just looks nice. That's it. You can't even play your offline games on it, mainly because you were being that big of a douche.
No, this is... this is both good and bad at the same time.
Yeah.
How so? The biggest, for me, the biggest problem is basically a person can sell their console.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. That record, they could. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. For consumers like me and you, if it's a console of this caliber, are you truly going to buy it from a stranger?
Unless they bring it over with a TV, plug it in, show me the whole thing works.
Well, even so, yeah, I was about to say, even for me, like, even with that, I'm still skeptical of buying a full-fledged console from a person I don't even know.
You know what I mean? But a lot of people, I know quite a few people that bought their consoles used, and it depends on whether or not the person's paying attention at the counter. They might not catch it and then just sell it off to somebody else, and now you've just got caught with a console. To be honest, it's useless.
Well, if you're doing it at the counter, then that's telling me that that's at like a GameStop or something. And if you buy it and you take GameStop, it to them, those are returnable. Like, you'll have a receipt for that. I'm talking about, like, if you bought it from Amazon and it's used, that's 100% on you. Like, you can probably appeal with Amazon concerning that.
You can't. You do have a return policy with Amazon.
Yeah. So there are return policies that's out there, and it is ways that. People are like, oh, well, this it's banned, so I'm going to go and sell it to GameStop. If GameStop is doing their job, they're going to be like, no, this is a banned account. We can't take this. We can't give you any money for this.
The thing about banned accounts is basically it should ban the account.
Well, no, ban the console, though, too. Like, because at least for what they've done for me, because, again, that message I sent you guys bans literally the console. Like, it's forcing you to go ahead and buy a whole new console if you're being that toxic. That's what it's doing.
Huh. Well... the thing about it is, a lot of consoles at that point you just jailbreak it.
If you know how to.
it don't take a lot. There's a lot of places too I knew of that people used to tell me about where you can just take it to a spot and they just jailbreak it for you.
I mean, yeah, I don't know how all that necessarily would work with.
I don't know. I've never did it before because I never needed to. Mm. I've never been that toxic before.
Yeah,
but. There is certain problems. The thing about it is, with this whole thing, I understand where he's coming from. I've played games in the past, trust me. I've played WoW, I've played League of Legends, played Smite, I've played quite a bit of games, even played Elder Scroll 1, where you run into constant toxic people.
Yep.
I like the idea, but sometimes what happens is you can get some innocent people in the crossfire.
Here's the thing: if your console gets banned, because this is that why I just told you guys has actually been around for a very long while, believe it or not. So if your console is getting banned, you're not innocent. You've been doing something for a long time.
But I have certain family members to where there's 3 to 4 people on the console.
Yeah, then you keep them off your console then.
I got my niece and nephews. They all share one console. Let's say one of them was incredibly toxic.
Okay. Keep them off your console.
The parent may not know that. I mean, they may be playing at night, be dogging them or something. And what will happen is it only takes them to get your entire console banned. I've had a friend that had he got his other friend's account banned before. I knew some found people, and to be honest, they don't know. I mean, to have your whole console banned is...
You're going excessive if your whole console is banned. Like, here's the thing. There's, you can talk circles all the way around it. the whole point, even just an account being banned, there's excessive amounts and multiple occurrences of you doing this. That's just an account. For your console to be banned, you want beyond those measurements. There's no excuse for it. There's no accidentally getting your account banned. You know what you're doing. Whether it's you or somebody else that's on your console, you know exactly what you're doing, and you've done it too many times, and Xbox had enough.
I'm not really trying to talk about talking circles. It's just, you would have to do something probably to the console.
No. You really don't. Like, it's literally your behavior to the community in general. Now, granted, again, that what I just showed you guys, like that's not the first time I've seen it, but I don't see, at least for me personally, I don't see a whole lot of people getting to that level to where your console's getting banned to where, like, you guys even know about it, so I just brought it up. You know what I mean? That's how rare I feel like it happens. But I think that if Phil Spencer's wanting to investigate something like that, like...
But it's good on paper, but it's, like, if you ever check out certain parts, and I understand where you're coming from, don't get me wrong, I personally hate toxic people. They ruin the experience and they make it terrible. But I've always stood by the thing you need with this. I'm glad that he is doing something, but he has to be careful how he does it. You do it wrong, you get both people. This happened before, I want to say YouTube, and a lot of these happened with the DMCAs and all those takedowns. While there were some people that were streaming illegally on there, a majority of people was doing the right thing. It's just, you just get caught in the crossfires.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of it's with the whatever tagging that they use to try and capture that stuff, because you can't really have enough people on staff to really monitor it live. So what you're going to have is like programming in there that's going to catch and look for certain things, phrases, reports, you know, key things like that. And it's going to filter it through to like a panel or to staffing who's going to review it, process it. You know, they're going to put like panels or whatnot to do that, which, like I said, you know, it's very good in paper, but it's like in terms of application, you got to be careful, because even though nowadays we have advanced techniques and codings and all that, you still are going to catch some innocent people in those crosshairs, and you got to try and then figure out how what ways do you go about if someone is caught and they are able to put their case forward saying that they're not this, how do you then resolve that to then get them back online? You know, and then in terms of like in issues with what Nineball was saying with multiple people on there, I haven't looked into this, but I know there's adult settings on there. I'm not sure if there's like password protect settings that you can install on there. Like, if you've got notices that something's occurring and it's like, you know, it's not you and it could be your roommate, you know, maybe you just need to start doing password protects and then they can't get on.
Yeah.
Like, but no, man, I want to play. I'm like, no, I've gotten a message from them saying that you're going to ban me. They're going to ban me if that keeps up. And I know it's not me, it's you, so you're not playing it.
And even with that, like,
Reading something about that right now, and I just ran into it on Xbox Microsoft's website to where a person bought it secondhand. But this guy is from Vietnam. Well, he didn't know he had got it a couple months ago for his kid.
You gotta check that. You gotta check it, man. See, that's the thing. I mean, obviously people want deals, but you still gotta check the product.
In certain places, you don't just have money like that.
Even more reason to check it.
This thread is like...
Even going back to what Mildew was saying before, like, when they hit you with the bans, like the console bans, they've warned you several times. It's not like it's like an automatic ban. You've gotten these warnings, be like, hey, you need to stop this. Hey, you need... And again, like those console bans, I feel like, are so rare to the point, again, where you guys didn't even know about it. Those console bans are so rare that you would have to be going above and beyond to get your console locked. So I think that the warnings are good. I think that I honestly think that the account bans are fine. Be like, hey, you're timed out. Make sure you're on your best of behavior next time you come back online. You do that 5-7 more times, like, no, you have to buy a whole new console. Thank you for your money. Thank you for your patronage. Go ahead and buy yourself another one if you want to.
Okay, I see what the thing is. Most consoles, 360. Microsoft bans consoles which have been modified.
Well, yeah, they've actually been doing that from, I think, the beginning of the system.
This happened before a long time ago with the PlayStation. A long time ago, PlayStation 3 had an issue with a person to where they, this was years ago, I think.
Talk PlayStation. About Linux?
No, they had jailbroke their console.
Yeah, it's been an ongoing thing. Yeah, that's an ongoing situation where they've always had that. People always jailbreak them to change something, modify something, make it work better, faster, or do something that they want to do with it. But it's like, it's going to come at a risk, because I think they've got some coding in there that if it's an X way, then it's going to register, and then they're going to be like, oh, this is jailbroken, so stop.
And that, that is something they can't connect to the site.
The site,
yeah. But that, that, even with that, like, that is obviously another way that can brick your system, but there are, like, what I was sharing with you guys is also something of being of a, that level of a toxic player. It's not just jailbreak or anything like that. It is going above and beyond trying to push the person to suicide, if you will. That's just like, hey, you're stopping this now. Like, we're not going to allow you to do this. If you want to get another console, buy
it. Well, here's the thing about Xbox, and I hate to say it. Xbox is one of the top 10 most toxic communities. This is not even a lie. I've seen it show up with several of them. It was so bad years ago, they was mentioned on Game Informer.
Well, I mean, you've got the Halo, you've got the Call of Duty groups Xbox, that are on there.
It's up there with probably League of Legends and them as some of the most toxic communities.
Oh, don't even get me started on League of Legends toxicity. That's why I don't play with any, unless it's friends.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when it was still out. Like, Game this was friends. Like 10 years ago, like when it was still like first coming out, like, and still new. Like, I was on there, and like one of my friends I was playing with got into a freaking argument back and forth with this person because they're like, "You ain't building right. You're bringing us down." And he's like trying to buy the most highest tier weapon.
Was your friend?
I'm on like. No, this was like this was when I was called before I met you, man. But it's like it was just this back and forth argument on the chat system, and he like talking trash was like we reported him for verbal abuse because literally he was just it was just bad. I'm like this was like 10 years ago.
Guys. I used to play with a person that was toxic.
It's still going on.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Let me let this guy know how bad he is. Yeah. And he's
Now on the Smite community, us three have been involved with. We've always, let's be real, we've talked trash about Randy. We've talked trash about Randy, but we never went of our way to make him feel bad. You know,
I never went like straight to his face and been like, you know, just talking trash straight to them. Like I said, you know, like I had in League of Legends where they're like, "What are you doing? You're not doing it. You need to do this. You need to do that. You're not a true player." Like what? Like I had one person that's like, "What rank are you in?" I'm like, "None," because I don't give a shit. And I kept playing the game. And he goes like, "You're bringing us down." I'm like, "I'm sorry that I'm playing it to have fun and you're ruining my fun. You're not having fun because you're not winning." I'm like.
I can see a point in that though. Me personally, I can see a point in that. But that's
like, dude, you need to get a life.
Yo, but it was funnier. We came back and won. I said, I just as a real quick thing, we won that match. We came back and won it, not because of him, but because of the rest of us. And I came back and said, "Hey, thanks for helping with the win."
I would have messaged him, be like, "Am I allowed to have fun now?"
Oh, we had to deal with a guy like that before, and to be honest, our team, we was going off on him because the dude, most of the people that talked the most trash, that dude on our team that was talking the most trash was 2-15 on a Rangar.
Yep. So that confirms that and me like, and you were talking about the same guy.
Shut up. Because we got to do it. No, man, it's our team, man. They don't know how to play. I'm like, dude, you're 2-15. You're 2-15.
Yep.
He couldn't have helped you with all 15 of those.
I love those players that
take a possibility for at least 10.
Like, I love those players who think that we're supposed to know how to play with them automatically. I'm like, bro, I don't know you. You're Randy number 5 on my list.
Mm.
I don't know you. I don't know how you play. I don't know your histories. Like, I don't know. Like, I haven't played matches with you, and we've been like running like since day one. Like, no. I know my guys. I don't know you.
Mm.
I'm having to watch you and just watch you just running into something like, yeah, y'all got my back. We're nowhere near you. We are nowhere near you, and you're asking me to get your back. The toxicity it goes from very, very toxic and bad, you know, very, you know, just god-awful, you know, comments to, you know, to being trying to be hurtful and all to the utter stupidity. Levels like you've got both on there, but I definitely, like I said, just to kind of finalize it, I really would like to see stuff come to fruition with that. I really do think though they definitely need to sit down and talk more about it and figure things out and go over the pros and cons of it, you know, the pros of catching everyone to the cons of, like, you know, catching some of those good people in there. How do you support them if they are in there and they report it, saying, hey, that wasn't me, you know, like, what, like, what leeway do you have with them, you know? So it's just, I want to hear more and know more before I go, like, yes, do it.
It's, yeah,
like,
that's, you know, great if it's done right. It's just, yeah, I want to make sure it's done right, and you know.
And
the good thing about it is that us over here at LWZ Gaming don't ever have to worry about getting banned, because, you know, I mean, it's only going to be for the people that are toxic and everything like that.
Yeah.
I know what you're laughing at, the nightball. I know what you're laughing about, but we're good.
Well, we stopped playing that for a reason.
Yeah.
Oh, it was, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to say everybody on League of Legends is bad. I played with some really nice people. Mm-hmm. I played with a guy, and I felt bad, because I was actually doing him bad, and I was like, he was like, okay, because he was talking, I was like, yeah, we gotta, if you can just give me a little bit more space, you know, I can do this, you know, I can carry, but I got a little bit more space, and he was being nice about it. I checked the score, he was like 23-2, and I was like, I can get him in space.
He's like, you know what? Like, take all the space you need.
And he was being nice. I played with a person. Our team went. We had like a Fizz against us, and we did absolute garbage because their Fizz was like 30 kills or something.
That's a Fizz.
Yeah. 40, 50 kills by the end. But our team was having a blast. Like, our Annie gave up like 12 kills in mid lane. Because by the time he came down to our bottom lane, like, I think I was Nami, and we had like, I was like, me and Twitch, he just one-shotted us. I was like, the heck? And it was like, yeah, it all started middle lane. Yeah. And they kind of joked about it. We kind of like congratulated him in the thing. Like, yeah. But, you know, do better than those people like that too. And it's, the thing about that is, you want to separate the good from the bad. That's all I want to do, is make sure that it's fair and that you don't get the wrong people.
Yeah.
I know this is a very bad idea, but it's like, is there a way to mark, like, if you're going into a queue and you've got some, like, I feel like it's bad, just, and I'm saying it still because it's a possibility of, like, of tagging their account with something saying that they are, like,
toxic.
I know Smite has, like, the hearts, I think it is, which is, like, something, like, they've got something on their end which shows, like, how, like, you know, if you've, like, deserted or, like, you know, you've had...
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the, I don't know what you're talking about, the 100% whatever.
Yeah, like, I think they've got that in there, so, I don't know if there's other ways to do that, maybe with, like actual, like, Xbox or PlayStation accounts, like, if you're
going to look at your account, like, saying, like, oh... Cheater's Island, where they put on...
Yeah,
I forgot what game that is, and...
Was that Outriders? I think it was Outriders, wasn't it?
I can't remember what game it was.
Yeah, I know it was last year, but yeah, I remember that. It was Cheetah's
Island. Just put all the toxic and cheetah people in, like, their own lobbies.
Yeah.
Like, here, you all go to be toxic with yourselves. You're trash. Your mom's trash. Nah, your mom's even trashier. I know, because I saw, like, you know, just, like, let them just have their own thing. And give me access to that stream feed, because I've got some popcorn and some time to kill, and I want a good laugh.
You know what would also not give you a good time to laugh? Which is finding out how long Dying Light 2 is in its entirety. Yes, Dying Light 2 is how long? Zach Zwanzen from Kotaku had said this in their statement. And this is story number 3, by the way, for anyone that's listening audio version-wise. Some games, like Wordly and other indie titles, are trying to be small experiences that you play for a few minutes or hours and then leave. Dying Light 2 isn't one of those games. Instead, the folks behind the game are excitedly advertising that it will take players over 500 hours to fully complete the open world sequel. I feel tired already. Dying Light 2, the sequel to the 2018 surprisingly fun parkour zombie killing original, was never going to be a tiny game. The original was a game I think easily sank about 70 plus hours. I easily sank about 70 plus hours into on the PS4 and further 30 plus hours into on PC. But today, Dying Light 2 Twitter account announced that it would take players at least 500 hours to, quote-unquote, fully complete the game. That's a lot of hours. A follow-up tweet confirmed that this isn't how long it's going to take to complete the main quest line or the side quest, but instead how long it will take to do everything in the game's undead urban wasteland. Most players will be able to get through it in about 80 hours or so for the, and they talk about the side quests and the base game. Still a pretty lengthy game, but 500 hours. Nine ball, what does that tell you?
I'm going to be realistic. I hate to be the bad guy here, but not much.
Why is that? Go ahead and talk to us.
Well, the thing about it is, what are the 500 hours? I mean, you can have 500 hours, but will it just be like repeat quest, like maybe a repeat quest, fetch quest all over the place? Having 500 hours, to me, doesn't really say much. I'm just hoping that it's a worthwhile 500. Mm-hmm. Not just, well, just we just slapped in a bunch of stuff, and there you go, 500 hours of maybe going out to go save the lady every 5 minutes. They got like, stuck in the house again.
Like, woman, I just saved you. That was a very bad thing to say, but, you know, unfortunately, it's one of those things like, I just saved your cat. Why do you keep letting it go? You know? Wait, that feels like a Naruto episode now. I'm just going to shut up.
It is going to be like, look at this in the, like, the painting's kind of in the wall right there. And what I mean by that is, Nineball, me and you, we played a lot of different MMORPGs, and what's one of the biggest things that MMORPGs have in common? They have the fetch quest. They have the kill 10 boars and come back to me here. They have the delivery quest. Like, so you might have different sequences of them, but at the end of the day, they still kind of cycle through the same 10, 15 different type styles of quests. So I'm kind of curious.
Not escorts.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious. If you're talking about 500 hours worth of stuff, unless they're going to have other stuff in there, like races and stuff like that. Like, I think that you're probably going to have quite a few repeat quests inside that game.
I don't mind that. I mean, the thing about it is, I don't particularly mind that stuff. It's just how it's implemented.
Yeah. Agreed. Mildewy Carrot, what's your thoughts about all this? 500 hours.
When did they copy Breath of the Wilds? Yeah. Because I know people who've got that plus more on there, you know.
Like I told you, man, look at me in Ohio Skyrim record.
I mean, I've got that on, I'm almost touching that probably on Conan. I touched that on Monster Hunter World, you know. It's like, you know, there are games out there that let you do it, but I'm going to go with Nineball also, and this is like, how are they doing it? Because, like, you know, the main game is only about like 80-ish hours, you know, with some side missions, it sounds like. So what is the 500 then? Like, are you building stuff for a base? Are you advancing your civilizations? Are you advancing outposts? You know, are you dungeon diving into subways and stuff like that? You know, looking for lost stories, lore, you know, tech, you know, like what is the extra amount? You know, that's what I'm curious about, is what are they giving you for for the plus 500, you know?
And I think so, the best thing for us to kind of, not almost say combat that, but to get a better answer on that would be to go to another game, which actually we've been playing, which is Final Fantasy 15. Because the base story of Final Fantasy 15 is like maybe a little shy of 30 hours, but there's supposed to be a lot of content in Final Fantasy 15 of side quests and all this different type of stuff that you can extend it to, I think it's over 200, 300 hours worth of gameplay. I think I could be wrong about that. Nineball, correct me if I'm wrong there, if you remember that scenario. But I know that it could definitely be a game you play for a long time just because of how open world it is, getting all the different summons, fighting some of the hidden bosses. Like, I think there was a boss that was on Final Fantasy 15 that was, over 15 million health or something like that. Like, it was something ridiculous. It was a Pandemonium or something. I don't remember. I just know that was something along the lines, like, it's supposed to be one of the hardest bosses that you can fight in a Final Fantasy period. So I'm very curious to see how, now if they have anything, like, again, one of the things that I would say in all the Final Fantasies is that they have weapons. And those weapons, you're not beating them on your first try. You know what I mean? Those weapons, like Ruby, Emerald, all of them, like Sapphire, you're taking a good amount of time grinding to get, or getting certain gear in order to fight this boss and have a chance of winning. Not guaranteed winning, have a chance to win. So Yeah, I think that's something to also consider when you're talking about something that's like a 500-hour game. Maybe they have something like that in Dying Light to where there's this boss that you need to be not only top level, but top gear. And on top of that, you have to have at least four people with you or something like that in order to have you a chance to beat this guy.
I wonder if they're going to have maybe the 500 maybe part of branching paths.
That could be, yeah, that'd be very interesting. Because there are choices in the game. You are correct about that.
Making choices may, lead to this one, and you may lose this part, but go over to here.
So they're counting in replayability into it to try and get all pathways?
Yeah, that'd be very smart. Because how many, if you had to guesstimate for either Dragon Age or Mass Effect, for those series alone, how much do you guys think each game would be in order to do a full run through of every scenario in there?
I know for the first one, you're gonna do a lot of hours for sure. I don't know. I haven't timed it to see what just one route story takes wise, but I know there's like, good God, there's several different endings depending upon one to start off with, the choice of your race of like what you choose, elf, dwarf, human, and then also kind of affects like, are you noble? Are you not? Are you elf? Like, city elf? Are you woodland elf? There's a lot of choices there, and there's a lot of choices towards the end. Like, did you keep someone? Did you, tell them off? How's your crew? Did you, get them fully up? It's like there's a lot of choices in there. So there is a lot of replayability, which you can bank on a lot of hours. Now, the thing, though, is when I was watching some of the trailers for Dying Light 2, it sounds like you've only got, like, two factions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And some of the stuff you choose to kind of affects the factions. I don't know how that works in the whole story-wise, because if one faction does one thing better than the other, I'm going to choose the better option versus the other. So how do you stack that, and does it end up, creating like this half-and-half thing that you have to boil down? Are we playing politics now? I definitely can agree that there's a lot of replayability, but they may have thrown in a third faction that I'm not aware of, which would be very interesting to see and all. But that can definitely probably affect, story-wise. But I don't think it would give you 500 hours. So it could definitely maybe give you 300 or more, possibly, depending upon how long the story is and like what the options are and the combinations between all the options, how many groupings there are. We can go to the whole math thing, which we're not going to do. But that can give it a lot of good content. Plus, then your extra add-on for side missions. Does, maybe choosing one option give you a different side mission than the other option? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I love about the choice games and the fact that they're going more into those, is because it's such a massive, like, if you were to look at just the board form of just the routes of choices and the affections and the offshoots of it, it's massive. It's a spider web going miles long. Like, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. Now, granted, as for someone that had beat the first Dying Light, horror games are not really my jam. Thriller games are not really my jam. But I am excited for Dying Light to play with friends. As long as, again, if it's a multiplayer, which I'm assuming it will be, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be. But assuming it is multiplayer, I am excited to play that again with friends and see, and get in that world and see what next levels are going to be awaiting for us in the future, what new zombies are going to be out there and choices that may pertain. And I'm also kind of curious to see if the choices that I make will affect anything that, like, if you have to go with those choices, or you can make a choice, I can make a choice, and next thing you know, we're fighting each other or something like that. I think that would be kind of cool. Story number three we have here is E3 going digital ... again. Rebecca Valentine from IGN says this in her story. The ESA has canceled its in-person event for E3 2022, according to a statement shared with IGN by the ESA. But while they point out the upcoming announcements, the future of the show of this year and beyond remains unclear. Quote, due to the ongoing health risks surrounding COVID-19 and its potential impact on the safety of exhibitors and attendees, E3 will not be held in person in 2022. End quote, reads a statement sent to IGN by the ESA. Quote, we remain incredibly excited about the future of E3 and look forward to announcing more details soon. And that ends that quote again. This effectively means that the current that currently E3 2022's very existence is uncertain. With no dates in a set and no physical event planned, that would theoretically leave the possibility for a digital showcase. But in a follow-up communication with IGN, the ESA added it could not confirm at this time whether or not there would be a digital event this year instead of a physical event as there was in 2021. End quote, end story. So, not surprising. The variations of COVID is just getting out of hand, getting out of control. I think this is a smart move. I am kind of curious if E3 is actually going, because I know that Jeff Keighley, part of the reason why he started doing his own thing is to separate from E3. I think he's, and I could be completely wrong about this, but I think he was involved with E3 at one point and then just didn't like how they were handling things business-wise and even with some of the stuff in the community. So he just like separated from that and started doing his own thing, Game Awards, now Summer Games Fest and stuff. That's kind of been like the big thing. Jeff has been stepping it up annually every year. And I'm very excited to see big companies work with Jeff. Again, you got to announce Elden Ring at his event. You know what I mean? Like, that's huge. But I'm kind of curious to see what this means for E3. And they kind of get that whole, like, little, we're not doing it this year, but we're excited for the future. And they're trying to make sure that investors are not pulling out and that they're still happy and everything like that. So that way they're giving you hope for the future, which I still think that hope is there. I don't think this is, like, a kill E3 type of moment. But at the same time, I think that I just don't want the digital market to be so flooded that you don't know what the main thing is going to be anymore. Because for years, there used to be that, okay, E3 week is coming up. Everybody, we're shutting off everything. We're going to focus on the big stuff that's coming out in the video game future. Now, you have Summer Games Fest. You have there's Summer Game Fest, and then there was another one that was like 2 years ago that had happened, which I can't remember. But then you have these big companies that's doing their separate showcases, which I do personally do enjoy. I like it that PlayStation has their own showcases, their state of play showcases or PlayStation events. I like it that, well, Xbox has still been doing the E3 thing, but I like that they had a full day that was just Xbox. I like that Nintendo has been doing the Nintendo Directs for, they were like the first ones to do it, really. And I like that they keep it going. I just wish that there was more energy behind that. But I do like the more of these bigger publishers doing their own thing. I just think that if you do it all together, that's when it can get a little like, okay, which one are we watching right now? Which one is the main one? Which is the big one? And I think the conversation is starting to shift from E3 to be the Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest, which I am all for, but I just wish it was a little bit more clear as to, like, we can't have another, what was that? Was it Coach Media that we were watching Nine Ball, and it was just, they showed that same little game over and over. It was like a small little 2-second trailer, and they showed it over and over. No, it wasn't. Oh. It was Gearbox that was doing it, because it was Tiny Tina and stuff, but there's like another game that was in there, talk about for like 10 seconds, and then they show you like a clip, and then went to another game, and then they come back to that.
I know you're talking about. I'm trying to think of the name of the game. I think it was like Home.
Yeah, it was like Home. Yeah, Home. Yeah. Whatever that game was, like I want less of that. Just take that out and just have more of that, like that bigger stuff. If you had to have an indie showcase, include that inside an indie showcase. That's fine. If you have to have a smaller title, I'm perfectly fine with that. But I just think that if you're, whatever you guys are going to do, whether it's, again, PlayStation Showcase, Xbox doing their own thing, Nintendo Directs, E3, Summer Game Fest, whatever it is, they just need to kind of collectively come together and be like, yo, this is the big kahuna right here. This is what we're going to do. Get hype for the year. And then bam. Because that was my complaint with E3 last year. Like, I did enjoy some of the stuff they shown. And actually, Xbox to me was one of the bigger points of E3, which convinced me to the point to where now I got my Xbox Series X. I didn't care of ever getting an Xbox before that. I mean, I had Game Pass on my PC, and which also translates to my phone because I have Game Pass Ultimate. But I didn't really care about getting an Xbox until I started seeing more stuff that I can get on my Xbox. I was like, you know what? Redfall's coming out. That looks cool. Halo Infinite. Like, Halo's always been a good one for me. You know what? Let me go ahead and get my Xbox Series X now, because there's going to be more stuff that's pertaining to me, at least in the future. So, yeah, I just want one major thing. Any commentary on that one?
I'm just glad they're taking Omicron seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agreed. Oh my god. Yeah.
All right. the last major story we have, we can just still have some fun ones after this one, but the last major story I want to actually throw this one at Mill Do It Care was we talk about Diablo and It's the Nightball, who is also a Diablo fan. Diablo Immortal gets a new class. Cameron Coach from GameSpot says this is in their article. Diablo Immortal might include a never before seen class for the franchise called Blood Knight. If assets in recent spell descriptions discovered in the game's Chinese client are believed. As discovered and translated by Wowhead, the Chinese version of Diablo mobile game includes 12 spell descriptions of which describe abilities for the unannounced class. In the addition to the spell descriptions, Wowhead also discovered incomplete male character model as well as a sword that referenced the Blood Knight during the game's closed beta. The files also contained what looks to be a potential class crest icon for the Blood Knight. If Blood Knight is indeed a class that will be revealed for the game, it will be the first brand new class in Diablo Immortal and the first time that the Blood Knight has appeared as a playable class in the Diablo franchise. Diablo Immortal's other classes are Barbarian, Crusader, Demon Hunter, Monk, Necromancer, and Wizard, and are pulled from Diablo 2 or 3. End story. So I want to start off with you, Mildew, and if you have any commentary on that, their nine ball, I want you to chime in too as well. Does this do anything for you for Diablo Immortals?
No, not really.
Oh my god!
Because I mean, first off, Immortals is going to be on mobile, and I've always been very, very finicky on the whole mobile games. Like I know Gravity plays the Final Fantasy. That one game that you and him and Hayabs play.
First Soldier.
Yeah, First Soldier. But he had to get like a game controller for it because it's very awkward to play on the actual like phone device on the touchscreen to play.
I don't know how the kids do it. They just play. My niece and they just play it on a phone.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's probably from the amount of usage. They're very used to the controls, the mechanics, and all that. It's never been something for me. I just don't like the feel of it. Plus that small screen. It's just like, I mean, I understand playing on the go and all, but it just never has appealed to me. In terms of the Blood Knight, I mean, yeah, it's a neat class and all, but I don't feel like it would be enough to people go like, oh yeah, we gotta get on Blood Knight.
Is it really a new class? We already have Final Fantasy as a Death Knight. WoW has a Death Knight. We have a Dark Knight. We have a Death Knight. We have a Blood Knight now, which is probably a Blood Knight, which is basically probably the Blood Death Knight class on WoW.
Well, to be fair, they did say Blood Knight is new to Diablo. Not necessarily a new class in general, but it's new to Diablo.
They have like an anti-death mechanic. Like
I know they got it in WoW. It's got the Blood Knights.
They have the Blood... they have the blood DKs. But they almost all share the same thing. What game did we play just last week? During our last 9 to 5 segment, which wasn't a 9 to 5 segment.
Oh, it was like a 9 to 20 minutes. yeah, that game. Yeah, Lineage 2.
Yeah,
I played
game that just needs to be removed.
Yeah,
I played a knight, like a blood, I think blood knight, a dark knight, a death knight, or something. I feel like it's going to be probably like one of those. We're going to be probably tanky, take a lot of damage, and probably have a huge anti-death mechanic somewhere to where, because most of them have like a mechanic to where they cheat death or they go dead for a little bit and come back.
Yeah, sounds like just a mix of a crusader and a necromancer, to be completely honest.
No, actually, 14 has one. I didn't know the Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight, like
they go dead, but you have to get them up to 4 health. The Blood DKs have Purgatory, where they on WoW to where they'll go dead. They look like they're dead, but actually, they won't take no damage and take no healing for a set amount of time. Mm. After that set amount of time is over, it'll add the healing to the damage, and whichever one did the most, he can either heal up to 4 health or just die afterwards. I'm not. Let me ask a different question. Who in this place is really excited for Diablo Immortal?
So
I am not.
So and actually, to be honest with you, I actually included this in the story because I thought you guys would be, actually, because I know you guys are Diablo fans. I have Diablo 3, but I haven't actually gotten to the point to where I haven't got to the real game, if you will. I've gotten pretty far into it, but I guess the part where, I don't know if it's like you beat the game, but it's like at that point you can go, and it's like if you die, then you use a character. I haven't got to that point.
Oh, no, I've never played. Like, that's hardcore mode.
Yeah.
Oh, like, that's actually me and that's my PC account version with me and my bro, TV Abyss. Yeah, we ran that thing hardcore because it's so much fun, especially with the DLC. But like I said, just taking it to a mobile just makes me feel just off on it. Plus, no, that's like, it's a big game. It's not a small download thing. So trying to put it on a mobile, it's like,
it's not even.
Can your device handle it?
Well, and that's actually. I'll let you go real fast there, Nineball. I will say, mobile. I wouldn't say necessarily that games are too big for mobile anymore, just because of how technology has come, especially with the new iPhone 11s. Is that the new thing that's out? Those things can hold quite, even my phone right now, the Galaxy Notepad or whatever, that can hold a good chunk of game on it.
Mine can hold over 100 gigs of space.
Same, yeah.
Well, I mean, it can hold that, but you know, that's kind of like saying, you know, on, you know, some of the other systems, they're like, oh yeah, it's got like 500 gigabytes, we're fine. But how many games are you downloading? How many games are you playing? If you've only got one or two, yeah, you're fine. But if you're one who does a lot of the mobile playing, you can run out of space a lot, especially with, you know, pointing up to Nineball up there. You got your nieces and nephews, so I'm pretty sure they got Fortnite, some other games. I know Roblox has got a mobile app version of it. You know, so I'm like, there, you've got a lot of games that can be downloaded onto your devices that can take up a lot of space, you know. So then it's like, then you gotta learn, like, figure out, all right, well, what's, you know, downloadable. And then not only that, but then it's like, when you're playing it, like, you know, how much does it take of your data plan to play the game? You know, I know when playing on hotspot, Minecraft didn't take much because it wasn't a lot of transfer rates. But when you're talking about transferring of frame rates, data, and positioning in terms of the map of multiplayer characters, it probably can take a bit, you know. So unless they've figured out a way of toning it down, like I said, I don't delve into mobile because it just doesn't speak to me. So there's just a lot of curiosities and concerns there that I have for it, but I'm pretty sure someone who plays more would be like, no, we're all fine and all, which is good. I'm still just not stoked for it because I'm a console PC player and I can easily wait till I get home to play the game. When I'm out about, you know, like, well, what do you play when you're out and about? Like, you're waiting for appointments and all. I read. I'm old.
I mean, you do have a Switch too, so.
I do have that too, but I can read.
Yeah.
I'm old. I like reading.
There you go.
I can. Every time I see that, I always think of that meme. Every time.
I do want to wrap it up.
I have phones.
I do want to wrap it up with a couple fun ones real quick that I want to throw out to you guys. And one of them, both of these, you guys can go to their website and read it on your own if you like to. But I'm just gonna like, if you want a more context with it. But Osin Kunki from GameSpot had talked about this. A pair of Los Angeles police officers have been fired because they ignored a robbery in progress in order to catch a Snorlax Pokemon on Pokemon Go. As reported by Vice Court documents posted last Friday, detailed their appeal to have this the city of Los Angeles decision on their employment terminated reversed. So,
but what if it was a Team Rocket Snorlax? You know, they could, you know, save the Pokemon Go universe.
They ignored a robbery to go catch Snorlax. Continue
IRL
with
doesn't
story.
Matter. We all of us gamers know IRL doesn't matter. It's only in-game that matters.
Continuing on with the story on here, former officers Louis Lonzo and Eric Mitchell were found to be guilty on multiple counts of misconduct, the evidence of such being captured on the digital in-car video system, which is the DICVS, recording the recording.
I
found
to watch that in court. Like,
that's crazy. Yeah, I can't even imagine.
And it's like, not only that, but it's like just someone on the jury just going, You didn't spin it enough, so you didn't get enough curvature to catch the Pokemon the first
time. I would have actually.
If you had done that right, you probably could have easily gotten that Snorlax and gotten the guy. You could have had two for one.
The recording
because
found.
You can't play the game right, you just fail.
The recording found the former officers willingly abdicated their duty to assist commanding officers' response to a robbery in progress and playing Pokemon mobile game. While on the duty, their appeal was based on the fact that, quote, city proceeded in a manner of contrary to the law by using DICVS recording in their disciplinary proceeding and by denying them the protection of the Public Safety Officers Procedure Bill of Rights Act. They lost their appeal. So
I'm pretty sure.
I still want to see that footage.
Did they actually, I want to know. Did they actually catch the Snorlax?
Yeah, come on.
I don't know.
I'm like, that'd be karma right there. They lost the appeal,
and they lost the Snorlax. So yeah, that would be something that if you guys want to know more about that, make sure you guys go into
Please tell me they're freshies right out of the academy.
Make sure you guys go into Osin Kunkies, and that's OISIN, and then Kunky is KUHNKE. And his article on GameSpot with the police officers losing their jobs by playing Pokemon Go. And then the last thing right here is Tabitha Baker from GamesRadar had talked about a little deal that's going on with Nintendo where we rarely see Nintendo Switch online memberships taking significant discounts, which means Amazon's latest bundle offers is a particularly impressive deal. Just for $34.99, you can pick up a 12-month Nintendo Switch online family subscription and a 128 GB SanDisk micro SDXS card. That's the MSRP of the membership by itself. Whether you look at it as a freebie or half price bundle, the memory card itself has $34.99 MSRP as well. There's some stunning value pack into that Nintendo Switch online price. Up to 8 users can take advantage of an online multiplayer, a retro virtual console, cloud saves, and special offers with this subscription. Plus, you're getting one of the best Nintendo Switch accessories on the market with that 128 GB of additional space as well.
I'm going to say, first off, I've got a way bigger SD card in my system that was probably about almost the same pricing or a little bit more. But I have way more memory storage. No offense. It's just all it is it's a little. It's the micro SD card, and it's got the Mario mushroom on it. That's with Nintendo's name, and they're selling 128 for that match. I'm like,
no. They're selling the subscription.
Well, I know, but it's like, that's the main thing about it. But I'm like, they're like, that's the big thing with it. I'm like, I can get a better one for a little bit more and more memory space without the mushroom face on it.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
We don't have the answer. Next.
What is on the online subscription? Like, what do you get with it?
It's really just online.
It's online access. You get access to the Nintendo store, you know, you get access to play with people online. You know, same thing kind of like a PlayStation Plus account, you know, except they don't give you really free games, you know. And to be honest, their online needs a lot of work anyways. They don't know what multiplayer is. they're more used to the in-person multiplayer
stuff, so they moved up from faxes, from fax machine to pagers now?
Yeah.
Pretty much. About. Pretty much.
I mean, I think they got the Nokias out, the old ones. The old bricks.
But for anyone that is curious about that one, again, that is on, I believe I just said that was GamesRadar.
We're not talking Nintendo.
If anyone that's curious about that one, I believe that's, as I mentioned before, it's at the article that's on GamesRadar. I'm just confirming that real fast before we wrap up the show. And
that's still a long one over those two GamesRadar officers.
Yep. Tabitha Baker from GamesRadar. it's her story about that. If you guys are trying to look up that deal and see how long that's going on for and everything like that, if you want to take advantage of that.
If you don't have an SD card, yeah, starting off with it's okay, but you can easily find a bigger one for a better pricing, guys. No offense.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our All Things Gaming Season 2, Episode 2 for everything Yes, that includes you, Spotify, and Anchor, as well as YouTube and Twitch. We appreciate you guys. We love you guys. Make sure you guys, again, once again, are checking our video, our social media platforms such as Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, all of that. Just type in ALWT Gaming. If you can't find us with ALWT Gaming, which stands for At Least We Try Gaming, just type that in, At Least We Try Gaming. You should be able to find us up there right then and there. Lastly, I also want to throw out there as well, if you guys have Amazon Prime and a Twitch account and you have them linked together, guess what? You guys have Twitch Prime. All you have to do is just use that free Twitch membership and you guys can sub to any of any Twitch streamer on Twitch channel once every month. That's just a free subscription right there that you guys can go ahead and give to your favorite streamers. If it's not us, make sure you guys use it for someone else because they deserve it. Again, we appreciate you guys. We love you guys. This Thursday, there's still nothing. This Saturday was actually going to be our 9 to 5, but I actually had to find another date because I actually will be occupied the entire time. Pretty much from the minute I wake up to the minute I go to sleep. So we're going to find another date for January, which is going to be coming up soon. But next Tuesday is going to be our All Things Gaming again, episode 3. And then followed by that will be our very first, on the 20th, is going to be our first Sin segment, Strength in Numbers. We're going to play a co-op campaign style game, go through it. We're going to try to go through that on a weekly basis, beat it together in unison, harmony, all that good stuff. And then we'll go on to the next Sin segment.
For the second there, Nineball, I thought he said he was going to join us in Phasmophobia.
I did not say that. That's blasphemous. That's blasphophobia. But until until next time, like everybody, version. Control, Alt,
Complete.
Peace, love, and hair grease. Yes, in 2022, deal with it, take it. Don't even
No.
What happened?